Back. Thank you for your prayers and you watched over my naughty kids. Appreciate it. Now, didn't really, guys, expect me to tell something from my trip. Conquering Jack from the Crusades. Jerusalem. Like I said, I was pretty much just going to visit my family anyways. I'd already been there twice before. Pastor Derek thinks I'm like a wet blanket, poo-pooing all the old rocks. But didn't really go sightseeing that much. I pretty much already saw everything two times before, so I wasn't really into go and seeing it all again. We did make one. We went to took the kids to a museum Saturday because you can actually go somewhere in Jerusalem on Saturday because everyone is inside. But then kind of drove around the wall there. Just looking at it on our way home, but didn't really stop to do too much. But mainly just went to go see how my family was doing and be an encouragement to them. It was a really, really glad I went. My sister, they all just totally, they don't get very many visitors. They're very isolated there. I mean, they don't have a church to go to. Churches really isn't a thing in Israel. And they don't have any Christians to really be with. And believe it or not, we actually depend quite a bit of it on other Christians. If we didn't have it, I remember during COVID, I escaped just to go be with another pastor's family for a day just because it's really hard to live without it. And so they're pretty isolated, that and especially with their kids. Kids don't have, you know, Christian influences to be around, and, you know, their kids kind of want to be around other people like them. They see other Christians and hardly ever. And so it's pretty hard with the isolation there. And also the persecution is pretty bad. You wouldn't expect it from Israel. No persecution, but there is a very active anti-missionary movement, anti-missionary group that has Andrew pretty much on their top not like list, and they're very, very active against them. They're the really bad guys in their lives. They wherever they can't. They can't sign a contract on a house. They can't pay a power bill, water bill. Everything has to be done without their name on it because, you know, we're not talking about like the FBI or CIA or anything like that. But they are that much active into hacking, that much active on finding them, tracking them down, and making their life miserable till they move. They just recently moved to this house where they're at, and they just got discovered a couple of weeks ago, like a week before I got there. They tracked a package and were waiting there at the pickup place, and they were driving home, and instead of they're watching behind them and expecting someone, you know, that's what they're always looking in the rearview mirror, but actually these guys had switched to going in front of them and having two cars in front of them, and they realized that too late when they noticed that same car actually was in front of them the whole time, all the way looking at where their blinkers were going, and tracked them down. And then all the neighbors get videos of this missionary that's in them, and they get pressured, and the landlord gets pressured the pressure's too strong, until they have to move. They're common for their house to get broken into. They found bugs in their house, in their bedroom. They get the equivalent of CPS called out there. And, of course, they're being homeschooled. They have to keep their kids indoors during school hours, which is actually 6 days a week because they only get Sabbath off, kids in public school. So, keeping the kids indoors during school hours and all that, it's a lot of stress on everything, and not being able to live a normal place, and it's a lot of persecution. Apart from that, you got when they go out putting out tracts. The religious guys are very easily annoyed, very easily angered, and they're very, very zealous. My nephews get beat up quite often. They'll be at a apartment building. Pretty much all other countries besides the U.S., you can actually put tracts in mailboxes. U.S. is actually one of the weird places you can't do that. But apartment buildings, kind of like skyscrapers, but not so high, but a lot of P.O. boxes outside. So it's very easy to get tracts out, and that's pretty much how they do it. He sends his kids out while he's in the van with the rest of the family, and they go hit places during one evening. They usually get around 3,000-4,000 tracts out every evening, so it's a really easy way to do that. But if there's a religious guy comes home from work or something, puts two and two together pretty fast, nephews will get, last 2 weeks ago, the oldest one, guy grabbed him by the head and started punching him, started yelling to the other guys that, a missionary, and they always carry radios and was able to make a call. And he prayed first but made a call to his dad and was able to get him out of there. But that's pretty normal. And so, yeah, they able to, a lot of tracks, and it's kind of what they do. So hit a lot of car parks as well, train stations. That's where you get also able to get the gospel out quite a bit there. But very hard, a lot of things we don't think about, we take for granted here in this country. So I'm really glad I could go there. They're extremely, extremely grateful that I was able to go, and I'm just really glad to be able to be a blessing to them. But anyways, let's go to the message now. Let's go to Judges 6:11. Judges 6:11. Says here, Judges 6:11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and thank you for your spirit that came into us, and we trusted in you. Believed your word, and I ask, Lord, that please work in this message, and we would tap into the power here, and that we would be able to be used mightily for you. Thank you for this church, and thank you for all those who are serving you all throughout the world, and pray that you would work in this service and this message, and Pastor Derek's as well. And ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. So what's this phrase here? We see in the last part, go in this thy might. Now to be clear here, Gideon's might, was it in Gideon? No, it wasn't in Gideon. It wasn't in himself. Is there anything mighty in our flesh? There's nothing mighty in our flesh, is there? The only thing that God sees as might is his spirit. It's the only thing that God sees as might is his spirit. What was everyone else doing there besides Gideon? What were all the other Israelites doing there? They were all coping with the Midianites, weren't they? They were there coping. They were putting up with the Midianites, hiding their stuff from them. But seems like the Spirit of God was working in Gideon, wasn't he? Gideon was there. He was coping with it too, but just really begrudgingly. He's there threshing wheat, thinking, why are we doing this? Why did this happen to us? Why, if, you know, all these things that our parents told us that used to happen, how we escaped from Egypt and all this, why are we acting this way now? And that's when the Lord appeared to him. And what did God see all those questions in Gideon's mind going? How did God see that? God saw it as might, didn't he? God saw it as might. Gideon thinking, wondering, you know, how can we get to how we used to be before? How did God see it? As might. God saw it as might. You guys awake today? Yeah. I'm just probably not awake, not making any sense. Is that it? Okay. And the only way God is going to see any strength in me and you is when we are in the Spirit. That sounds kind of cliche-ish, you know. You got to get in the Spirit, brethren. Get in the Spirit. And they go, oh, yeah, I'm tuning you out because I heard that so many times. That seems really hard and a lot of hard work and fasting and all that stuff. But how was it for Gideon? How was getting in the Spirit with Gideon? Was he there fasting 40 days and 40 nights deep in his Bible? What was it? One simple question, you know. How can we get to how we used to have it before? That's all I just, God, you did it back then. What has to happen for it to happen again? How we can not have people ruling over us again. It was that simple. In verse 13, Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hand of the Midianites. There was no spiritual stride there, just a tiny little question. And how did God see it? God saw it as might. Okay, very good. And what did God said? Go in this thy might. So we're going to take this phrase here. These 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. Kind of use it as our outline there. Go in this thy might. So what's the first word in this phrase? Go. Go. Are we supposed to go someplace? Yeah, we're supposed to go. Where are we supposed to go? Someone tell me. Where are we supposed to go? Go into all the world. You guys know where that's at?
Everywhere.
In the Bible. Yeah, everywhere. You guys know where that is in the Bible? Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's in two places, I guess. One I have written here was in Mark. But anyways, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. It stopped right there, didn't it? Go here in mine. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It stopped because that's the end of the verse right there. That's where we're supposed to go. And can you sympathize with Gideon? What was his order? What was Gideon's order? What was he told to do? would drive out a couple of Midianites. There's like 100,000 of them. That's kind of a tall order to tell a guy, wouldn't it? That's kind of a tall order. It's kind of a tall order for us as well to go into all the world, isn't it? It's kind of a tall order. So we can kind of sympathize with Gideon and say, wow, Lord, that's a big project there. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And also for Gideon to go wipe out those Midianites. And it would be impossible, wouldn't it? Had it not be for the next word. What's the next word? What is the next word in that phrase? Go in. Go in. Go in. In. Are we supposed to be in something? What are we supposed to be in? What are we supposed to be in? You guys know a verse that we're supposed to be in something? In Christ? You guys know a verse? Let's look at it. John 15:1. This isn't a chew you out and spit you out message. I'm sorry. I didn't feel like chewing anybody out today. This is just a short, encouraging message. John 15:1. Kind of spun out from a conversation me and Pastor were having. Brought me home. John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So, we're supposed to abide in what? Abide in Christ, abide in the vine, right? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye be my disciples. Well, we are supposed to be in the vine, be in the word. That's what he says. We're in the vine when we are in God's word. If you never received God's word, never received those simple words that Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, it is paid for, and you haven't received that, and you're still trusting in yourself, well, then you're not in the vine, and you're not in Christ. But if we were born again, born into the vine, God wants us to stay in his word, to stay in the vine. It's the only way we're going to be able to be in Christ. Staying in the word. So then, we got two words down. What's our third one? Go in this. Go in this. He doesn't say, go in might, Gideon, go in might. That's not what he said. He said, go in this thy might. He didn't just say, go in thy might either. He put the word this in there. Go in this thy might. It's a specific something that he's supposed to be doing. And there is something specific for us in the vine. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:1. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Read to verse 11 here. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every person, to every man severally as he will. Okay, so we got four combinations here. Now, this might have been overwhelming. You just tuned me out and didn't understand anything that we just read. I should have gotten these four little I was going to get four little papers to explain this, because it's really simple. Even I figured it out, which is saying something. Nobody even helping me either. Just, Bible right there. So it's really simple to figure out, if I could even figure out. We got four things here. Look, where's the first one here? Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You guys see that there? Verse 4? Diversities of gifts. So we see these gifts in Romans 12. I see it. Do you believe it? Romans 12. Just hold your hand there in 1 Corinthians, because we're going to jump right back there. I brought a new sickness from Israel for you all, in case. Shake my hand afterwards, I'll bring it for you. You can have it. 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, there's one, let us prophecy, proportion of faith, or ministry, let us lay weight on ministering, he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, do with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we got those, was it six or seven of them there? One, two, three, four, five, six, or seven of them. So we got seven diversity of gifts, okay? Remember, we have four little divisions here, what we split it up as. And back here in 1 Corinthians 12, so we got the diversities of the gifts. We just saw all seven of those. And then we got the differences of administrations. And we see that in Ephesians 4:11. It says he's given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I'm sure you guys remember that. So then he splits it up into those groups. And then, what's the next one? In verse operations, there we go. Our diversity of operations. I'm pretty sure you can ask someone else if you don't like this answer, you can put a little thing in the offering back there, and someone with the gift of teaching will be sure to do a series on it or something. I don't know, but I think it's the kind of like planting, watering, harvesting. It kind of seems like a little more dynamic of this, kind of like during Pentecost. It was kind of like a, the jump start, and a lot of these gifts of manifestation that we're going to get to here were used then that aren't being used now to be able to do some serious planning at that time and getting the gospel out everywhere. But kind of like planting, watering, and harvesting, that's the way I see it. But it's not really that important. If you want to argue about it, I don't mind. But and then we got in verse 7, manifestation of the Spirit. And I put here diversities of manifestation just because we got diversity and all the other things, but it's the same thing. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And we got here, split it up into the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So, to work our way back up from where we just left off now, you should be able to categorize me or every other believer here, if you're to like making a cover letter or something, we should be able to fit in here somehow. For me, I see it as starting at diversity of the manifestation there in verse 7, I would probably put myself the word of wisdom. I'm not really the wisest guy in the world. I don't always sweep stairs from the top when I'm making decisions. I kind of, you know, do it all wrong and then figure out how I should have done it in the first place. So that's not really me. Word of knowledge, I'm not really the deep guy, deep theologian per se. I see myself more as, you know, the Spirit being manifested in me as faith. Everything kind of, especially when I'm preaching, I kind of always revert back to belief. And faith is kind of what I kind of grabbed a hold of and in my messages and explaining things, it kind of reverts to that. So I would say my how Spirit's manifested to me is through faith. Not so much healing, miracles, or prophecy, or any of those things either. And then going up, diversity of operations. I feel like the Lord's used me mostly through planting. Not maybe some watering there, but not all that much harvesting. And then differences of administration. More like evangelist would be me. And then diversities of gifts. And giving. That's where I feel the most fulfilled at, giving. So anyways, I am supposed to go in this. So the Lord wants me to go in the vine with this, my gift and your gift. It doesn't just say go in this. It says go in this, in this. It's specific. You need to be going in your spiritual gift if you're going to have power. Got an amen out of Pastor. Must not be too much heresy here. It's very nerve-wracking when he gets quiet over there. Especially when I'm explaining away something that I'm pretty sure about. Didn't talk to him about it yet. Okay. And then what's the next word? Go in this. Thy. Go in this. Thy might. Go in this. Thy might. And this is what you pastors were talking about. You know how good we are, especially us pastors, at looking at successes and other pastors and other missionaries and kind of looking at what they're getting done and thinking, wow, you know, what am I doing wrong here? And just wondering if, you know, we're just doing all the wrong things. It's personal as well. It's thy. It doesn't say go in this might. It says go in this thy might. And it's really easy for us to say, you know what? I'm just going to leave my spirit at home, and I'm just going to go do what he's doing, or go do what she's doing. And instead of going in my might, my personal gift, we start looking at what they're doing and say, I'm just going to copy what they're doing. And you know what? It worked for them. It'll work for me. And what we're doing is we're just leaving our spirit, leaving our gift at home, and wandering around in weakness, trying to copy someone else's success. And you know, that other person that's having success is probably walking in the Spirit. They're probably walking in their in the Spirit, walking in might. But just because they are, don't expect you to have the power they're having, because you know you're different than them. God made us all different parts of different gifts, and you know you could. You know, there's so many variations that he made with these. You know, he's got these three or four different combinations and bunch of sub-combinations inside of them. I mean, he's made us all very, very specific for a purpose. And when we go trying to copy someone else's success, don't expect to have power, to have success, because you're just copying what they're doing. God says it's very specific. Go in this thy might. You know, how many of you see me as this deep theologian here explaining the dark, deep, deep truths of the Bible? You don't see that very much, do you? I mean, that's if, you know, even if I wanted to be, do you think the Lord would be using me, and all these other would have been able to use me in other ways had I left my spiritual gift and tried to be the deep, deep theologian? I don't think the Lord would have given me success in any of them. If I had left my gift there at home and tried to be something he didn't make me to be. He wants me to go in this my might. Go in this thy might, he says. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. 12. I guess we are here still, aren't we? Says for it, I'm going to read on to the whole chapter here. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but ye one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then help, gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Having all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent way. So we are to go in this thy might. Also look here in Galatians 5. Galatians 5. I hadn't really noticed that talking about this till I started studying it. But it kind of seems like there was actually a problem with this happening. Galatians 5:25. I'm coming. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, we're not to be envying, you know, that Christian over there that everyone's talking about, and give up on your gift. so you can be like him. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:12. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Says 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Kind of taking this out of context, but the principle is there that we're not to be, you know, comparing ourselves with others and trying to see if we're stacking up or if they're stacking up, or we're supposed to go in this our particular gift. Go in this thy might. Our last word is might here. But remember, is it our might? No, it's not our might, is it? It's just you turning on all the switches in the right position so God's might can come through you. Let's look in Ephesians 3:16. Almost done here. Ephesians 3:16. There's a lot of verses I could have used. It's very, the spirit and strength, the spirit and might are all over the Bible. Says here, though, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Only might we're going to have is God's spirit. I was reading the Bible, I think it was yesterday, in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, thought that was a good place to, good passage, kind of heard of it. Ephesians 40:29. End of the chapter. Ephesians 40:29 says, "He giveth power to the who." Are you there with me? Ephesians 40:29. What did I say? Ephesians. Whoa, that'd be a hard one to do. Ephesians. Yeah, Isaiah 40. I'm so sorry. Isaiah 40:29. So sorry. Isaiah 40:29. He giveth power to the who? To the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So what are we going in? Are we going in this thy might? That's the question. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be going and that we would be in you, and not just in you, but in our specific gift, using our specific gift, and that we wouldn't be looking at other people's gifts and wishing we could be like them or have the success that they have, but to be faithful in our particular gift, so that we can see your might coming through us, Lord. And I pray that you would help me. This is something I'm struggling with and always trying to be like someone else, but help me to be faithful in my area where you've put me, and that I could do something for you with my life, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.